Hi again, everyone. It's Ting, the palliative care reg at BHRUT, and I'm joined by a few members of our team today. I have Heather Wright, our team lead, Evelyn Asiam, one of our CNSs, and Naeem Hassan, our discharge coordinator. And today's episode is called I Wouldn't Want to Do Your Job, and it's based on the fact that we often hear from people, oh, how do you do that? It's so depressing, it must be so sad, I wouldn't want to work in palliative care. So we thought we'd start with the question of, you know, what's rewarding? Why do we do what we do? And I'm going to start with Naeem.
I look at the bright side of the team. So the way I look at it, I feel very blessed that I'm there in one of the most vulnerable moments of a person's life, which is somebody close to you dying. And the family knows that we are there, and I'm there in the room. Sometimes we don't have to do much, just stand there with the families, holding the hand probably. That means a lot for the patients and the family. So let's look at the bright side rather than looking at just the death and dying.
And Evelyn?
For me, it's about helping a dying person to die peacefully and with dignity, and also supporting them and their families at a time when it's very difficult for them. And it's about sort of being there. The highs of my job have been, especially when I walked into a Sainsbury's to do my grocery shopping and met a relative who was busy introducing me to someone else about having helped her husband when he was dying. I couldn't even remember this lady or her husband, but she was telling this other lady that I was there when her husband was dying, holding his hand, and when he died, I actually spent time with her as well. And for that, she was very grateful. That made me feel very pleased that I had helped someone at a time when they needed me most. Mm. And I felt it was very rewarding. Mm.
Mm. And yeah, I would think the same, that it's an absolute privilege and an honour to be part of somebody's life at the end and to make a big difference. At that time when it's incredibly difficult for all involved.
Yeah, I think it's often a bit of a lack of understanding of what we can achieve for patients and their families at the end of life, whether it's the last few days or the last, you know, year or so running up to that. It's helping people prioritise and achieve what they want. And yeah, certainly I don't, even with my parents, I don't think they really understand what we do. And when I told them I was doing palliative care, they were like, "What? So you're not really getting people better anymore? Well, what's the point?" But, you know, as we've talked about, it's about so much more than just fixing a disease. But, you know, there are hard times with this job. So perhaps you could tell us a little bit about some of the tough days, some of the sad times, Evelyn.
Okay, so for me, I can only remember a recent thing with the pandemic where multiple family members were dying, and it was very sad to see a gentleman and his wife dying. And I felt very sad because at the end of the day, you're only human and you empathize with them. But I know they died with dignity. And so I did feel relief that at least we had helped them, but it was a difficult moment. Mm.
Yeah, I think, during the pandemic where there's been multiple deaths, I think even us as a palliative and end-of-life care team have found that incredibly difficult. And our normal coping strategies haven't even kicked in with that. So I think, yes, when there's multiple, and also when they're younger deaths, for me personally, I think you can, it kind of touches your heart more because you put yourself in that situation.
Yeah, especially during the pandemic, when people are dying and then family were not able to visit. Mm. I remember a patient, when we called the family, update them about the patient's really very poor condition, and the family said, you know, I can't come to visit my husband, and she burst into tears. And obviously, I said, look, it's heartbreaking, no doubt, but I just want to reassure you that your husband, he's not alone lying in bed. We are there with him. So I can reassure you, if he needs us, whether that's for symptoms or just to stand with him, we are there. He's not alone. Just because the family is not there, often people think, oh my God, family come visit, that means must be my father is just lying on the bed alone. So it's difficult. It's difficult. It's something that we have never experienced before pandemic. Mm. But yeah, I think as a whole, when you look at it, we really have a lot to be proud of, especially support that we gave to the patient and the family.
Mm. Yeah, there's definitely hard times though, isn't there? Like, I've definitely cried at work, and I think at the beginning I used to think, oh, that's unprofessional, I'm not doing my job properly if I let myself cry. But actually, I think it's a sign of, you know, just having real empathy and being moved by the people that you're looking after. And I think if there's a day that I stop being moved by this stuff, then, you know, I need to think about what I'm doing in my job. And another thing that a registrar said to me when I was in F1 was, if you're not stressed at work, then you're not learning anything new. So trying to, after the end of a tough day, take a step back and pause and reflect and just sort of try and see what can be gained from a tough situation. But I guess that leads us into looking after ourselves a little bit and coping mechanisms.
So for me, I love being at work, but also I love at the end of the day when I can actually leave the building and be me and look after myself. I like to relax at home with my family. And, you know, I also, whilst I'm at work, find clinical supervision very helpful. I'm in a group supervision and everyone supports each other. I also do a lot of mindfulness as well, and that helps me to do what I do.
Mm-hmm. I was always taught many years ago that when you come into the hospital, you put on your imaginary cloak, and then when you go out of the hospital, you take it off. That doesn't always work, but it's a good analogy to have when coming to work in, particularly in palliative and end-of-life care.
Mm. The funny thing is, it's not a science, so there is nothing right or wrong about it. Everybody is different, so everybody's coping mechanism is different. Mm-hmm. The way I look at it, when I finish my work, I just take a pause and ask myself, what have I done in this whole shift today? Anything to be proud of? If that answer is yes, that's gonna make a lot more easier for the rest of the coping. And then obviously people listen music or people, you know, speak with their family. So everybody do different way. But I think we have to recognize that there is no easy solution. And end of the day, you are a human being. So it's not a switch on and off button. So you will struggle. All of us do. Recognize that. But also take good care of ourselves in a different way, whatever suits you.
Mm, yeah, be kind to yourselves. And yeah, look for those things that you did well. I think we find it hard to recognize when we've done something well, isn't it? Everyone's natural tendency is often to be self-critical, but yeah, to be a bit kinder. And then Heather, our amazing team lead, can you tell us a little bit about supporting team members?
Yeah, so it's really important for me to make sure my team's a support. And one of the good things that I feel we've done is that we put morning huddles in place, where there is an opportunity to check in with everybody, check in that, you know, how people are feeling, and also to give updates too. But I find that from my perspective, it's really good to get a sense of how the teams are feeling. And because we work in multiple offices and sites, everybody coming together is a good opportunity to share and reflect. One of the things that we have done on the back of me feeling that the empathy was quite low in the room, was to introduce a little task of we were missing our holidays in the pandemic, so we did a little competition of whose holiday destination was whose, and it was quite fun. It just lifted the mood.
Mm. Yeah, I will slightly add on what Heather said about team huddle. The way I look at it, it's not just another routine morning meeting for all the teams. Yes, it does serve that purpose as well, but it does much more than that. Because if anybody were to come from outside our team and attend our team huddle, they would be kind of a bit confused. Like, what are you talking about? I thought you were talking about the patient. Yes, we do. But it's much more than just patient. It's a one-off way of our coping mechanism. So that's the time you share your experience. How was yesterday? Did go all right? And Is there anything particularly you are worried about? So all these bits and bobs that you probably don't get a chance to ask anybody, that's the best way to address those questions. So.
And for me, the team huddle, it's a great thing. Having had come from a team where we didn't have huddles, I find this very useful. It gives you the opportunity to know what everyone is doing, makes you aware of who you can go to as well if you need help. And it's just a way of belonging, feeling part of a team. It's very good.
Yeah, it's very skillful to create a space where everybody feels safe and able to talk about how they're feeling. And we'd encourage trying to, you know, recreate a little bit of that whichever team you work in, and just regularly checking in on each other and just asking quite simply, you know, are you okay, how are you doing, and just listening. So lots of highs and lows there, and pearls of wisdom from everybody. But just remember, there's also support available on the BHRUT website and NHS England. There's apps, there's telephone lines, there's support groups, individual things. So we'll put a little link for that in the footnotes as well. But thank you for your time, and hopefully you've gleaned a bit of an understanding of what it's like to work in palliative care.